Sometimes you'll hear a Christian say that they're no theologian, and usually they say this in the middle of a conversation. Because of that, they don't want to discuss theology. Theology itself can be a word that sends small lightning bolts up and down a person's spine. But 1 Peter 3:15 tells us, "But in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet, do it with gentleness and respect." But what if we don't know the answer? Or what if the person we are talking to is smarter than us? What if the person we're talking to talks rings around us? We'll discuss these and other questions today on Episode 3 of Theology Simply Profound.
Hey, Rob. How you doing today?
Good.
This is Pastor Bob Terullo with Rob McKenzie. I'm pastor at Westminster Orthodox Presbyterian Church here in Indian Head Park, and Rob also serves as an elder on the session here at this church. We're glad to have you with us for this episode. So, Rob, we have this new podcast that we're working on, Episode 3, and we're trying to fumble our way through this whole podcast thing. Why don't we take a moment to back up, sort of go over where we might have begun, and just talk about the show itself, what we're attempting to do with the show, and what we want from this show. But first off, just with the name itself, what does the show title mean in your mind? Theology, Simply Profound.
Well, first of all, fumbling through words was actually in the show
job
notes.
Description.
Yes, absolutely. That was my prerequisite. The name that I came up with, Theology Simply Profound, is just a way of saying that the Bible, which contains our understanding of theology, is simple enough that a child can understand that we are sinners, that Jesus died for us, that through faith and repentance, we can be saved. And it's simple, and all of theology throughout Scripture can be simple. We can understand that we are to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We can understand that we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. And while it's simple, it's completely profound. So if a five-year-old can understand it, and the smartest individual that's ever walked the face of the earth can dig into it and for eternity still be finding greater and greater depths of understanding.
So, in your estimation, the hope of the show is for us as a pastor, elder in a local church here in the western suburbs of Chicago, just trying to make an effort at talking about matters that are found within the Bible that relate to our lives, mm-hmm. not necessarily as though in the austere towers of ivory, as it's sometimes spoken of, but really, you know, where the rubber meets the road, so to speak, where we can talk about theology for every man, so to speak, I guess, right. In that terminology. Because, you know, really, we are just like every other person.
Oh, absolutely.
We're sinners saved by grace, and we know the Scriptures as people saved by God's grace, and we're looking to make that known to other people.
Right. Well, Scripture keeps telling us, study the Scriptures and to discuss the Word of God with other Christians. One of my favorite books is Pilgrim's Progress, where Christian and those whom he meets, they're always discussing the things of God. And actually, Bunyan brings this out more so in the books that he wrote afterwards with Christian's wife, Christiana. And it's just brilliant. Everywhere she goes, when she meets people, she says, "Come with me along the road, and let's discuss the things of God." And what Bunyan is saying is that Christians throughout their lives need to be talking about the Bible, about Christ, how it affects their lives. But this shouldn't be something that we just do on Sunday. It shouldn't be something that we save for a Bible study. This should be something that we are daily interacting with. And that doesn't mean that we have to attach every single second of our lives to a Bible verse. It shouldn't be anything that's forced.
Well, do you think this is an uncommon thing then in today's Christian world?
Yes, I do. Unfortunately, I think part of the reason for that is we're comfortable with our daily lives. This was probably more of a, it's hard to say common, but more of a common occurrence among Christians when their lives were hard and there was persecution. And we hear the stories of underground churches in China that will risk their lives to go and meet together on Sunday or throughout the week. And for them, the things of the Word of God are much more precious because every day they could be discovered and thrown into prison. And I don't want to say, oh, you know, Americans, they don't understand theology, because that isn't true. But it is something that perhaps Christians need to be thinking about more often.
And with that, you mean simply in our daily walk, to be thinking more and more about how to be ready, as 1 Peter 3:15 says, to be ready to make a defense, or to anyone who asks for a reason that is within you, to give a reason for the hope. Now, normally this is used as an apologetical, you know, verse for defending the faith. So you seem to be maybe opening that up to what might be the common understanding of that verse, or at least at a one level understanding of that verse, and want to make us understand or have the sense of this should be the way we speak all the time, to have ready to be having a conversation with regard to the hope that is within us. Essentially, right, in different words, to talk about God with our neighbor.
Right. Well, Paul says that in Ephesians 4. He said to it. So here in Timothy, or to Timothy, he's talking to a pastor. But in Ephesians, he's talking to a congregation. And he's saying that you need to be ready. And to your neighbor, you need to speak the truth in love. And I think most Christians would say, oh, yeah, absolutely, I want to discuss these things. And so the desire is there. But are we daily in the Word, daily in prayer, seeking to understand the things of God and the theology of the Bible? And I've had so many people tell me, well, you know, I'm no theologian. Well, you are, actually. In fact, everyone is. Even people that aren't Christians are theologians.
Well, why don't you flesh that out a little bit? Because I think some of our listeners, Christian, non-Christian, whoever is listening, might say, what are you talking about there?
Well, Romans 1 tells us that we all have the knowledge of God within us. And that's all theology is the knowledge of God. So we're all theologians. Some of us are struggling to become better at it. For those who are Christians, not only do we have the image of God and the knowledge of God, but we have the Spirit and we have the Word of God. So we have the access to become better theologians. And that doesn't mean that, you know, that no, not everybody's going to teach Sunday school. And that's fine. Not everybody's going to be a pastor, elder, or church officer. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. God calls us to different areas of service. But we've also been commanded to know the Word of God so that we can give answers when we're questioned.
And you'd also say, though, that it's beyond a command, right? It's this is how we get to know God.
Sure.
So it's not just that we're commanded. Really, the heart desire for all Christians should be to know the Lord and His Word. Because in His Word, He tells us all about Himself. And as you referenced 2 Timothy not too long ago, and it's I think you were thinking of 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Right? I mean, that the man of God, man, woman, daughter, son, may be equipped for every good work. And so we know this breathed out. We've talked about this in a previous episode, the inspiration of God. breathing out through the prophets of old the scriptures that we have now written down for us, that is, for the church, to have and to hold and to hear proclaimed and to read, to meditate upon, all of these good things for teaching, reproof, correction, all of these wonderful things that Paul tells Timothy the scriptures are good for.
Right.
Are all to draw us in one way or another closer to the Lord and to his church.
Well, the scripture often talks about us being in a battle and talks about the kingdom of God going forth and fighting against the kingdom of Satan. And we're in that battle. And part of that is when we talk about understanding theology, knowing the word of God, as we've already mentioned, the two sides. One, personal readiness. That's our personal devotion, our personal devotion to God, but our study of the Word of God, our prayer, our willingness to engage with people when the opportunities come up, which can be very scary to do. And the other side is when persecution comes, not just the, you know, I'm trying to make a distinction between someone who just asks a question and just wants to discuss these things, and a question that might come that's an actual attack, where, you know, oh, you're a Christian, well, Christians are like this, and you believe this, and you don't care about this, and you're closed-minded, and whatever's going to come. It's good for us to understand the Word of God so that not only can we answer them, but that we can, in defense, protect ourselves.
Sometimes the best defense is to be as a lamb mm-hmm. led to the slaughter, though, as well. Turn the other cheek, maybe, and be meek and humble in the response that we give. Lots of times we see people out there fighting for their rights.
Mm-hmm.
And, right. And as Christians living in an American society, we certainly have the right to do that. With regard to the laws of the land and such. And so I think in one respect, it's going to take a great deal of wisdom as Christianity moves forward in the American context to know when to remain silent and when to speak out, because that has sure. to do with our witness. At this point, so to speak, what we're talking about, though, is, like you said, with the neighbor and with regard to the society around us. Those seem to be the two contexts that you're talking about.
I think most people won't have the experience where someone's coming after them and just viciously attacking them. But it does happen. Mm-hmm. And Scripture talks about not only examples of that happening, but it tells us to be ready for that kind of happening. I mean, Jesus said, if they do such to me,
they will do it to you.
Yeah, what are they going to do when I'm gone? And we have ample examples of that in the news, where people are going in, taking Christians, pulling them outside and shooting them. It does happen.
Yeah, not in the American context.
In the American context, but they're still Christians that this
right.
does happen to. Peter, going back to what you're saying about being gentle, in 1 Peter that I quoted earlier, it says that we are to do this in gentleness and with respect. We are to respect and love others. There's very few times does our defense of the faith call for yelling and any kind of standing up and shouting. I'm sure that can be a response at times, but probably rare. But you know, I think of Luther at the Diet of Worms, where he's being challenged. You know, why do you believe this? Recant, mm-hmm. recant. And all his books are piled up on the table. And do you believe these? And often, you know, we get that Luther just kind of took a deep breath and shouted, you know, here I stand, I can do no other. And, you know, but what we understand is that actually he was very quiet. Where they had to ask him to repeat it and speak up. And he said, unless I'm convinced by Scripture, I can't.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. What are some other ways, do you think, that when we are, let's move away from the sort of the society question, mm-hmm. and more to where most of us would have the challenge faced to us, the simply questions that come from our neighbor while we're mowing our lawn across the fence, or right. Having a neighbor over for a meal or a barbecue, and so what do you do? Oh, or how was your weekend? Oh, I went to church on Sunday. You did? Why? You know, right. that type of interaction.
Where you get the, oh.
And silence.
Silence, right.
Or what do you do for a living? I'm a pastor. Really? I rarely actually get the really. It's more a matter of I get silence and move on to another subject. Right. So once we get past that and we start talking about almost anything but what now I do for a living or what my job does, whereas lots of other people, the interaction with regard to someone's job, it continues on and, oh, that sounds interesting, sure. and tell me about that.
Right.
That doesn't always happen in my context simply because of the first answer that I give.
We talked in the second episode, one of the things we were talking about was having confidence in the Word of God and knowing the Word of God, but having confidence that we believe in truth. The Word of God is truth. And so when we answer a question, if somebody, you're actually having the conversation instead of the, oh, in silence and mowing the lawn, where they say, oh, that's, you know, what do Christians believe? You can get that.
That's a great opener. Yeah. That's a great way to begin to have a conversation. I mean, it just opens up the door for someone to be able to answer. Do you think one of the problems might be in our general Christian context is that many of us don't know how to even answer that question?
It could be, yeah.
And so maybe the start for some is to simply reacquaint themselves with the gospel that they came right. to love and the right. first time that they loved God. You know, thinking of conversion stories or whether they grew sure. up in the church.
Sure. I mean, personal experiences are usually the standard, this is how I will convince others. I will tell them about my experience. But the problem with that is that they've had experiences too, and they're just as real. And if it's a completely different religion, or no religion at all, all we end up with is competing experiences.
Right. Well, and Peter, in his next letter, mm-hmm. tells us that he has an even more sure word
right.
than his experience on mm-hmm. the Mount of Transfiguration, doesn't he?
Right.
Right. And that, what is that more sure word but the Scriptures as he describes it? Right. And he just says that the Scriptures are even more sure than his experience of seeing Christ Jesus transfigured.
Right.
Which is amazing. Right. It's just a wonderful perspective.
Right.
Right. Because we often say, if I was only there with Peter, James, mm-hmm. and John, I'd believe.
Right.
Well, the fact of the matter is, Peter tells us, you have something even better.
Right.
You have the Scriptures that are more sure than that experience.
And Jesus himself tells us that. He says, blessed are those who believe. But more blessed are those who believe who haven't seen.
Who do not see and believe. Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
I think often our conversations will start, going back to the neighbor over the fence, often our conversations will and can start with experience. You know, well, why do you believe? How did you? Well, you know, so I'm not saying that we have to avoid our experience. We just can't use the experience as the reason for why we believe, reason why this is true. And so if we look in Scripture and we see when the apostles or the other believers were challenged, well, they looked to the historical fact of the resurrection, the historical fact of the existence of Christ, of Jesus incarnate, of him living on the earth, and then his death, burial, and resurrection, and the witnesses that saw him after the resurrection. The apostles are always looking back at that, saying, look, there's 500 people that saw Jesus after he was risen from the dead, and as they say, many of them are alive. We've been going through Luke in Sunday school with John, and one of the things that's brought out is that Luke was a historian. And so he went and talked to these eyewitnesses that saw Jesus after he rose from the dead to gather information, because this was a historical fact. And now we don't have those people with us, so we can't go talk to them, but we have the record that's given to us in the New Testament of the risen Christ, and the church that would begin and expand based on the resurrection.
And the power of the resurrection. Right. So essentially what you're saying is the way of making ourselves ready for this First Peter defense, as right. Peter puts it, is to know the Word of God.
Yes.
And to train yourself in the Word of God.
Yeah.
Now, there are other things that can help us. You know, there are various forms of tools that we've been given. You know, we used one during a Sunday school
right.
called Two Ways to Live, right, yeah. to sort of help you sort of wrap your mind around the basic gospel message, to have it ready. And I think most people in the Christian church find themselves sometimes even struggling with how to get their mind around just a brief
right.
presentation of what the gospel is, let alone being able to explain, you know, the profound parts. Because a lot of times people want to think, well, what about evolution? What about abortion? Mm-hmm. What about this and what about that? Usually on the ethical side of things or the scientific side of things. And, you know, right. really the message we convey, and it's not that they don't relate to those things, but the message we right. convey is a historical message of salvation that
yep.
God has come into the world to right. save a people for himself.
Right.
And to save them from what? Well, from their sins that at the rebellion back in Eden.
Right.
And that's the message. And those things are peripheral. Those other things
yep.
are peripheral. Although that's where a lot of times the questions start, or at least the antagonism starts.
Right. Well, yeah, even if the conversation doesn't end up being antagonistic, it's so easy to get sidetracked.
It certainly is, yeah.
Rabbit trails are, you know, a many.
Yeah, we do it during Sunday school most of the time. Right.
Absolutely. So it's a natural
yeah.
thing. And one thing that we need to train ourselves to do is always be able to bring the conversation to the cross. And that doesn't mean that we don't engage with any other questions. Not that, like you said, it's not that those questions aren't important. They're just not the central aspect of the gospel.
Right, right. Now, if you have a relationship, that's where those other questions sure. can, something that can be talked about
right.
over time and in various contexts. And sometimes it can be a fun banter back and forth with friends,
sure.
and other times it's more serious. So
one of my struggles is trying to get every single point in a conversation.
Yeah.
Because I'm afraid that if I don't say something, you know, if I've talked about five different things, but there's these two other things I didn't talk about for a week, I'm going to just beat myself up that I didn't talk about everything I could have talked about. So I struggle with that.
And that's understandable. I mean, it's a different thing, but I think pastors struggle with, they read a lot during the week in their preparations for a sermon. They want to get everything in there. Good pastors get the right stuff in there.
Right.
Pastors like myself try to put the right stuff in there, and we often overpack the sermon or something like something of that nature, instead of sort of holding back a little bit on some of the good stuff as well. Anyhow, it's a rabbit trail.
Rabbit trails are fun.
As we are ready to do. Now, with regard to 2 Timothy 3:16,
right.
with regard to the scriptures, with regard to knowing them as a breathed out word of God,
mm-hmm.
and knowing that because the scriptures teach us that they are profitable for all of these things that we've already said, teaching, reproof, correction, training in righteousness, that every Christian would be equipped for every good work.
Right.
How is this the case for us?
Well, for one thing, God has actually ordained that we will do good works, and he'll bring them into our lives. Now, that's going to vary based on our individual abilities or individual experiences can contribute to that, and the opportunities that we have. But God is going to bring in times when we should be doing good works. And knowing the Word of God, and not just knowing the Bible, but understanding how the Bible fits together, not just in a knowing the 66 books, but there's a central theme that runs through Scripture, and it's carried through Genesis through Revelation, and having a good understanding of how that flows is going to help us answer people's questions, but also how do we respond when situations come up, when someone comes to you and they say that they've realized that they've got a problem with alcohol and they're looking for help. It's our understanding of Scripture that should direct us. Now, in that case, it might be going to a clinic. It might be getting some professional counseling. It might be just going to bring in the pastor and elders. I mean, there are different ways that it can be handled, but as the person talks to you about their struggles, why they're having a problem with alcohol, maybe it's because they've been having an affair. Maybe it's because they're just depressed. I mean, Scripture talks about these things, all of these things. And so having a good understanding of where you can go in Scripture, and, hey, pull out your computer. This happens to me all the time. I'm very good at saying, it says in Scripture, and knowing what it says, but knowing exactly where it says it, that you pull out Google and you look it up. and you know, if you're struggling with what passage says this, we have some great tools at our advantage.
A lot of new tools that do that. Why do you think it's hard for us? Just, I mean, as you've been talking, the question comes to mind, well, why, if this Scripture is so good for us and has the ability to do what, you know, Paul says it does, that we, every man, every Christian man and woman, may be complete, equipped, maybe perfected, completed, mature, equipped for every good work. Why is it so darn hard for us to take it for what it is and read it?
Right. We're sitting next to a very nice bowl of pasta and we're starving, but we're not eating. Why aren't we doing that? Well, it's a good question. In some sense, sometimes we really don't have an answer to why we're not doing it, except there are reasons that can come into our lives. And one of them is the enemy of our souls. I mean, Satan is trying to lead us away from studying the Word of God and reading the Word of God and praying. And so that will develop in our lives with excuses. And I know these excuses because I've used these excuses. I'm too tired. I'll get to it later. That's my favorite. I'm going to get to it. I know I haven't read Scripture today. I need to do that. I'll do it later. Let me just finish up. I've got these five things I'm doing. I'll finish those up. And then I can relax and I can take the Word of God. And the next thing I know, I'm in bed falling asleep thinking, did I ever? No, I didn't do that. Oh, it's the morning.
Right. Essentially, priorities.
Sure.
What's your priority? Is it those five things or is it the Word of God? And sometimes that's not the easiest thing for us to deal with because everything else, well, because we have a forgiving God, right?
Right.
It's very easy to say, Lord, I'm sorry for that. I'll do better tomorrow.
Knowing that we're supposed to be reading Scripture and praying and memorizing Scripture, and which memorizing is horrible for me, but I still need to do it, or I need to try. And sometimes memorization can come through just reading.
Repetition.
Keep reading.
Repetitive reading.
And, you know, I'm not going to be a great memorizer. It's just who I am. It's how I'm made. And so there's other people who are struggling that are listening to this. Look, try. That's really what we've been commanded to do. Try. And when we realize, I haven't read Scripture this week. What is common, in at least for me, and I think this is not only from my own sin, but just from the enemy, is saying, "Oh, don't worry, you know that you didn't do it. But don't worry, you'll get to it next week.
You didn't miss much.
Yeah, it's all right. It's all right. But then there's the other side that says, oh, you didn't do it. You are the worst sinner ever.
All right, guilt.
You know, which I know that I already am. But we need to come to that, Lord, I'm sorry that I haven't been reading your word that you've commanded me to do. And then determine, I'm going to do it. And when, you know, a month later, when you realize, I didn't read scripture this week, you do the same thing. And we're never going to get to the place where we're perfect. But we can't, on one hand, let it slip away so we never do it. On the other hand, beat ourselves up to the point where we never do it.
Where we're incapacitated.
Yes. Right. Yes.
So we always want to make sure that we have ourselves being kept from a dullness right. in our whole being. We don't want to become numb to these things out of guilt and hurting ourselves in that way, or else we'll stop listening to that voice that says, this is something you need to do. Because as Christians, right, made in the image of God, we need to know our God. We need to know our Lord more and more and more. And so when we get ourselves into this week, month, months without the scriptures, we fall to the Lord, fall on our knees before the Lord, and we come before our God in repentance and faith. This seems to be a theme so far that we somewhere along the line, I'm falling on my knees in repentance and faith in these episodes. And we come before the Lord in repentance and faith. Okay. And that's the life of the Christian, right? Walking before him on our knees, essentially, because we're always finding ourselves falling short. Right. And that's why we have such a great Savior.
And from a practical standpoint, I mean, there are some great tools out there that you can use. There are reading your Bible through the year that can be very helpful. Tailor it to yourself. We're all individuals,
right.
and some people are much better in the morning, some people are much better in the afternoon, some people are much better in the evening. Find the time that works for you, and then try to be consistent, and don't beat yourself up when you're not, because in some sense, as we've already said, we're human and we're sinful, and
right.
we just need to try and do it. Any final words on your behalf?
Read the Word of God, and if you haven't started a plan to do so, consider doing it. Ligonier Ministries and their website, they often produce, usually in January of 2015 and 2014 at least they did, they put together reading plans for you, Bible in a year. So there are lots of different things. There are apps that even do this for us now to help put us on track for reading the Bible throughout the year and meditating upon it, giving ourselves opportunities to get to know the Lord. So the basic encouragement, the general encouragement is come to God and come to him through his word and have his word before you.
When the devil tempted Jesus in the desert, Jesus used scripture to fend off the attack. When John the Baptist's ministry was questioned, he used scripture to justify the work that God had given him. The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, and pierces into the very soul. For the Christian, it is our comfort and our nourishment. Let it be our delight, so that we might be able to give glory to God by bringing the gospel to the whole world.
Until next time, this is Bob and Rob. Theology, simply profound.